but they never turn to Christ. I think most of us have somebody like that in our lives. And you wonder, why do they turn away from a chance to be saved and follow Jesus? And I think a lot of folks would say that the number one reason that people don't follow Jesus is they just don't care to follow Jesus. They've heard the gospel, they know the claims, but they do not want Jesus to be Lord over their lives. And so they make the decision, I'm not going to follow him. I don't care what you say. But I think if you could see deep into people's hearts, you would be amazed at the number of people who will not come to Christ because they're convinced he could not care about them. I don't come to Christ because I don't believe that he wants me. The world is filled with people who believe they've used up their last chance with God. If only you knew, they say. If only you knew my past. If you knew the things I had done and the numbers of times I have rebelled against God, you would recognize Jesus doesn't want somebody like me. If only you knew my present. If you knew what was going on in my life right now, if you knew the ways that I am in active rebellion, you would know Jesus doesn't want somebody like me. If only you knew my problems, if only you knew my failures, if only you knew all of the bad decisions I've made, you would understand God could never love somebody like me. And so rather than risking God rejecting me, it's just better if I never even try. Too many people are like the leper who came to Christ in Luke chapter 5. What would it be like to hope against hope that Jesus might be willing to help you? It had been so long since he had encountered a kind word, since he had seen any expression other than fear on other people's faces when he began to approach them. Why would Jesus be any different from everybody else? What would it be like to wonder, does God want me? Somebody like me? You see, leprosy was the worst thing that could happen to you in Jesus' day. Imagine what it would be like this morning to have the worst possible form of cancer. One that is aggressive, one that is attacking your body in all kinds of ways. A cancer that is eating away your life a minute at a time. Now imagine what it would be like to have that kind of cancer, and that cancer was incredibly contagious, so that nobody dare come close to you or they're going to suffer the same fate that you're suffering. That was leprosy in the time of Jesus. It would steal your life. It would steal your life a little at a time, a moment at a time, a day at a time. Not only would it steal your life, it was also that disease that nobody wanted to be around. We can relate to that a lot this morning. Everybody I know is sick of wearing face masks. I don't know anybody who says, oh, my life is so much better since I discovered the face mask. I hope that we get to wear these for the rest of our lives. I saw some doctor on TV one day saying, I hope people learn that long after this is over, just keep that mask on. And I thought, good luck, brother, because as soon as they tell me all clear, I'm throwing mine away. I'm going to burn it in the garbage. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know this. It's going to be gone. Imagine this morning, though, if I came up to you and I said, listen, I've got a problem. I'm really struggling with this fever, and I have just discovered that I really have a bad case of COVID, and I just need a hug. What are you going to do? You take that and you multiply it by 100 times and you have leprosy. Leprosy attacked and destroyed you in so many ways. It affected you physically. It was a death sentence. But not only that, it was a death sentence that was progressive and long. And you learned as time went by that you had lost the use of various parts of your body and you no longer had the sensation that would save your life. but it also affected you emotionally. Imagine realizing I have to avoid everybody I love for the rest of my life. A lot of you over the past weeks and months have talked about parents and grandchildren that you had to stay away from for a while, and how frustrating that is. Now imagine taking that and being told for the rest of your life, you can never be around your grandchildren. For the rest of your life, you can never be around your children. For the rest of your life, you can never be around anybody you know and anybody you care about. For the rest of your life, you've got to stay away from your husband or your wife. For the rest of your life, you have to avoid people. Now, how would that affect you emotionally? Can you imagine how devastating that is? How every day you wake up and think, if I could just have one more day of being normal, then everything, I could endure it for a little bit longer. And leprosy also affected you spiritually. It stole your hope away. Everybody assumed that when you had leprosy, it was not a disease, it was a judgment. It was God's judgment on your sin. You would not have it unless you deserved it. The worst thing about leprosy was not the sentence of death. It was the awful, unending feeling of being absolutely alone in the universe. Today, there are a lot of people who share the feelings that haunted a leper in Jesus' day. Not the disease, not the physical devastation, but that sense of loneliness and loss, the loneliness that only comes from personal failure, the sense of rejection that comes as the consequence of sin, and you know you did it, but now nobody wants anything to do with you. The isolation that comes to people who have failed and feel as though I failed myself, I failed my friends, I failed my family, I failed God Himself. These spiritual lepers believe they have run out of chances and out of hope. They're convinced not even Jesus could care for their soul. And they need to know what Jesus did with that leper that day. The Bible says desperation drove the leper to Jesus. The Bible doesn't tell us a lot about this man. It doesn't tell us what his name was. It doesn't say where he was from. It doesn't say what he looked like. It doesn't say anything about his home, his family, his friends. It doesn't tell us anything about him. In fact, the Bible only gives one description of this man. The Bible says he was full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. In other words, he was just about out of time. That disease had just about taken an ultimate toll upon his life. He had attempted everything he knew to find some sort of healing and relief. He had turned everywhere he knew to turn. He'd ask anybody who had even a glimmer of hope, and it had never done any good. Things had only gotten worse. Every day he had to watch as this disease gradually invaded every part of his body and came to believe, I must be getting just what I deserve. It was payback for all those things he had done wrong. All those times he had defied the Lord. And now it seemed as though just when he needed him the most, the Lord had turned his back on him. When people began to tell him about Jesus, he didn't want to hear it at first. Other lepers he met were spreading rumors about people that Jesus had miraculously healed. And he tried not to listen. He had gotten his hopes up one too many times, and he wasn't willing to take a chance again. He didn't want to have any hope at all crushed one more time. I just don't want to hear about Jesus. But he kept hearing stories, testimonies. He might even have encountered somebody else who had been cured by the Lord. And eventually a faint glimmer of hope began to stir at the bottom of his soul, and he decided he would go to the place where Jesus was, even if he could only watch from a distance and remain where nobody could see him. After all, There was no place for him in that crowd surrounding the Lord. That kind of attitude sounds familiar to a lot of people. They know their life is a mess. They've tried everything to fix it by themselves. They've listened to anybody who said, this is how you find some real peace. Sometimes they even convince themselves, things are okay. But when they were alone and things got quiet, they knew, my life is still a mess. So many people who have done their best to live their life without Christ, who have been afraid to put their hope in Him, have tried to convince themselves, I can find a way. I can find a way to peace. It may be through some sort of belief. It may be through some sort of religion. It may be through some kind of self-help mechanism. I can find a way to fix myself. And they've tried and they've tried and they've tried. And it never really works. Maybe from time to time they would remember things people said to them about trusting Jesus. And they can remember, I've always sneered at that idea of trusting Jesus. Now I just think it's too late. God's lost interest in me a long time ago. You know, of all the things I remember hearing said so many times as a growing up child, the story people used to say to me that I think, what a painful thing, is that story that kind of says, God gives you one chance, God gives you five chances, God gives you a dozen chances, but eventually God says, you've used up your chances and I'm not going to try to reach you anymore. And a lot of folks believe that. God's just given up on me. Even if today I wanted to repent, even if today I wanted to change, it's just too late. But now it hurts enough, and they begin to wonder, could Jesus really save me? The leper made the decision to go to Christ, even though he had promised himself that he would keep his distance from the Lord, even at the risk of one final rejection. And the closer he got, the more compelled he was to find out for himself. And that's when he found himself at the feet of the Master. Can you imagine what the crowd did as this leper came through and aimed right for Jesus? They just scattered to the sidelines. They wanted to stay away from this man. And by the time he got to Jesus, it was just he and the Lord. Nobody else. Even the disciples have backed away. This was truly a one-on-one conversation. The conversation began with an expression of concern. That thing that was always in the back of his mind. As he said to Jesus, if you are willing. If you are willing. If. That's a really big, small word. He wasn't sure Jesus would want to do anything with him. After all, he was used to people avoiding him. Besides, here's the Savior, perfect, sinless, holy. And he was only a man filled with disease and sin. Would Jesus really care if you are willing? I'm not sure that you are, but if you are. After that concern came a word of faith. If you are willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. Isn't this an interesting thing? Once he was fighting against the hope, now he has a conviction. If you're willing to, you can do it. I don't have any doubt. You can make me clean. He absolutely believed Jesus had the power to heal him, that he could restore everything he had lost or thrown away in his life, that the Lord could forgive his past and give him a hope for the future. Only Jesus could do what only Jesus could do if only Jesus would. Same thing people need to discover today. Jesus and only Jesus is all the hope we have. Jesus and only Jesus is all the hope we need. The question should never be, can Jesus help me? But will Jesus help me? Yes, he has the capability to do anything. Yes, he can reach into my life and he can make me whole. Yes, Jesus can do it. If he will. And the leper held his breath to wait and see what Jesus could do. And the Bible says Jesus reached out to him at his point of need. Here's a man who could not remember the last time he experienced any kind of expression of welcome. He had been forced to warn people when he got too close to them. Can you imagine how degrading it must have been? That every time he walked down the street and he saw a figure in a distance, he had to ring a bell and he had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean, get away from me. Keep your distance." And he had watched how many times as people ran to get away from him. It had been so long since anybody smiled because they saw him coming. And then Jesus did the most unexpected thing. The Bible says he touched him. He touched him. Through all of the filth and disease and despair, he reached out and laid his hands on a hurting soul. What did that touch of Jesus mean? It was a touch of presence. It was Jesus' way of saying, "I'm right here with you. I have not turned away. I have not run away. I am not avoiding you. I am right here where you are." Isn't it good to know that he brings a touch of presence when we need him the most? And it was a touch of forgiveness. For all of the guilt that had haunted him, can you imagine how many evenings as nighttime fell, this man had sat and recounted all of the sins of his life, trying to figure out which one was the one that caused God to curse me? Which one brought on this disease? Which of my sins was one the Lord could not forgive? And with his touch, Jesus brought forgiveness. And it was a touch of grace. When I think about this man, when I think about what he did for the rest of his life, I think any time he told the story of what happened that day, tears would begin to flow. And he would say to the people he was talking to, "And then he touched me." And with that touch, Jesus began the process of healing. No matter who you are, no matter what you've experienced, even as believers, there are times when we carry guilt in our lives and we allow it to cripple us. Oh, how much we need to know he's reaching out to touch us at the deepest point of our need. And then Jesus spoke a word of hope. He said, "I am willing." The leper believed, "If you could, if you would, you could." Jesus responded, "I can and I will." That's the word of hope everybody needs. He can and he will. I am willing. When you don't know Christ, that's the word you need to hear. You need to know in those times when you say, "Could God ever love somebody like me?" There's a voice speaking in your heart and it's saying, "I am willing." Those times when we have fallen away from God and we wonder, "If I came back, would he receive me?" I am willing. Those times when we allow sin to get a grip on our lives and we feel as though, "I'm never going to escape the destructive power of this sin. Lord, could you forgive somebody like me?" I am willing. If you're afraid that you failed too many times, to hear him say, "I can and I will." And then he did it. His voice was like quiet thunder. "Be cleansed." And instantly, all of the disease, all of the loneliness, all of the fear was gone. When he stood to his feet, a new man was there for everybody to see. He was clean. He was restored. He was whole. How long did it take for this kind of miracle to happen? After all, it had been years as that disease had gradually taken a grip on every part of his life. Luke says it took place immediately, instantly. There was no struggle as God sought to free him. There was no hesitation that the disease might not go. There was simply, once I was diseased and then I was whole. Once I was broken and now I am restored. When God works, he works right now. He did it then. And he does today. Whatever your need may be today, this is what I can promise you. When you hear his voice, when you feel his touch, your life is forever changed. If you happen to be here this morning and you're not a believer, to understand, you just have to call out and he saves. He doesn't say, I'll take it under consideration. He doesn't say, I'll watch you for a while. He doesn't say, as soon as you prove you're worthy, you call out to him and you are changed. And in our lives as believers, when we recognize, you know, I've allowed some things to get hold of my life. There are things I have been struggling with for a long time. I haven't been sure whether God would give me another chance. You need to know this. He says, I am willing. And then he says, be cleansed. And his touch is always an instant touch. What is the Bible telling us? It is saying the Lord is absolutely worthy, loving, absolutely graceful. And he absolutely does not wait until you're worthy before he does his work. You call his name, things are changed. That was true for the leper. It's also true for you and for me. This morning, there may be something that you need to bring to him, something where you think, this has so affected my life. I just need his touch. And in a minute, as we can sing our invitation hymn, if you just need somebody to pray for you, if you just want to let me know after the service is done, I need to talk to you, you just slip up your hand and we'll know that long before we talk, God has already been at work. Let's stand together. Let's sing. To worship in God's house today, to remember the transforming mercy of a loving Savior. I pray as you go into this coming week that you'll remember just how much he loves you and just how much he redeems those who belong to him. Let's have a closing prayer and then our final song. Then Rich will come and help you as you leave. Father, we do thank you because a lot of us, Lord, at some point or another in our lives have felt like that leper, to wonder if we're out of chances and out of hope. We just need your touch. Lord, thank you that you've promised us you can and you will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It has been good to be in the Lord's house today. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, it's great just to sing praises to His name and to hear His word proclaimed. We're dismissed this morning, and as usual, we'll just ask our folks in the very back if you would lead the way and let the folks ahead of you kind of give a little space and, yes, put on your masks, and let's begin to go out into the world to share the good news of Christ.